Oh, Tuesdays are just a bit of a nothing day, but we are here to change all of that, aren't we?
It's not just an ordinary Tuesday. No. It's opening up to everywhere day.
Yes. Are you happy about it?
Not really. I'm not, to be honest.
Right.
But we're going to chat to the Premier about it pretty soon.
Well, you've surprised me, Roo, because I thought you'd be all about, no, let's open it up and let's get business going and whatever.
Well, I reckon it'll stuff business.
Do
more,
you?
More than open it up.
All right. That's interesting.
I'm not sure people are ready to walk around with COVID yet. I know that'll happen at some point, but anyway.
Because once you get it, or if someone gets it, if you're a close contact, that anyone who was a close contact goes into 7 days quarantine, which could be a whole kitchen
yep.
of a business.
My inside info, and this is quite serious, comes from SA Health. I've got a bit of a mole on the inside.
Oh, they have you
are
had it checked?
Battening down the hatches. They are getting ooh. Ready for multiple cases, and they know it's about to happen.
Children, I have some exciting news.
You are fake news.
Hello, Adelaide.
Triple M Breakfast with Roo, Dits and Lies.
Overnight news.
Now, we've already talked about the fact that as of midnight last night, our borders are open. I've got to tell you, I read around yesterday. I read up on websites. It is the most confusing thing of all time. Mm-hmm. Well, for me anyway. Because I want
to travel in
maybe
the state,
go
you
and
mean.
Travel. Yeah, you try and read the New South Wales website, the Victorian website. Ours is the best. I'm not joking. Ours is quite easy to follow about when you come back, what you have to do and all these things. I'm that confused. It's incredible.
Yeah, it's
but
not,
I am dumb.
Well, you're not that dumb.
Thanks.
Imagine Roo trying to navigate it.
I wouldn't leave the state.
Oh, gee.
I don't want to actually leave anywhere other just quietly. I'm pretty happy here.
Just stay in Burnside. Yeah, I'm nervous as all hell.
Wakery.
It's very...
best place to be in the country
mm-hmm.
at the moment.
I just feel a bit, a bit anxious, but we'll see. Why are we calling it D-Day, by the way? That sounds very, sounds like doomsday.
Well, we had to open up at some day, I suppose. Yeah. So, and we're not at 80% either. We haven't got there.
Nope. Go get vaxxed, please. That'd
be great.
So
we're 77.4. It'll be interesting to see how things happen. I'm just a little bit concerned there's going to be a lot of tension around pre-Christmas.
I think that you might be right, but we'll see how it plays out and just take it one day at a time.
Yes, all right. We'll chat to the Premier later on this hour. House prices, they're finally saying they're going to drop in 2023.
Oh.
They've had a big run. Everyone knows that. We've been talking about it for last year. This year's 20-odd percent. Next year, they're saying 7%. 2023 in some places will drop by double digit, 10-12%, because interest rates, they're saying, will rise due to a good economy, heaps of jobs out there for everyone, and it'll put a bit of pressure on house prices.
Also, in the last month, banks put their interest rates up, even though the Reserve Bank didn't. So that changes your mortgage.
That's right, and that's why it's going to come down in 2023 with their best guess at this stage.
Yep.
Sad day at Monado Zoo.
Why, what happened?
Well, the third baby white rhino has died in about 4 years. I was up there with one of the first ones, I think, 3 or 4 years ago. Beautiful little thing.
What are they dying from?
They're dying from internal bleeding.
Really?
From trauma.
So they think they're getting maybe other rhinos are attacking them.
Yeah, but surely you'd learn that after the... I've got absolutely full faith in the zoo.
The Monado people.
I spoke to a lady up there. She was absolutely brilliant and, you know, just couldn't be any more caring for the rhinos when I was up there. You would think
so rhinos attack their own young.
Well, maybe even the mum.
Don't know.
Mum or dad, I don't know what's going on.
They're so cute.
It's from trauma, smashing into it,
gee.
Internal bleeding. Sounds...
I wonder what happens in the wild.
Yeah, well, that's...
probably heaps of that stuff.
Probably heaps of that. Yeah, it's probably vicious as all hell. But hopefully they can stop it. I mean, that might be the only benefit of keeping animals in cages. You can watch them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of animals in cages or boiling pots, it will become illegal to boil lobsters alive.
What?
Yes.
What do you mean?
After studies have found they do actually feel pain.
They feel pain?
They do feel pain.
How did they find this out?
I don't know.
Okay.
But you know, most people don't boil.
Well researched. Anyway.
Most people don't boil lobsters live anyway.
What do you do?
You kill them first.
Do you crush its head?
You usually drown them, believe it or not.
Hang on.
You do.
How do you drown a lobster?
In fresh water.
No.
Yes, you do.
Oh, because
you do, otherwise their arms and that fall off.
Same as
if you cook crabs while they're still alive, their legs will fall off.
Yeah.
So lots of people will kill their crabs or lobsters before you boil them.
Is that the only reason? Because their legs fall off, not because of cruelty.
Nah, don't worry about
cruelty. So you're drowning the poor fella, but boiling him, does it really matter? Is the lobster thinking, thank God he's drowning me rather than boiling him?
So their legs don't fall off.
Honestly, if I had a choice between boiled and drowned, I'd choose drowned every time.
Would you?
Absolutely.
I'm not sure about that.
Absolutely. Totally. Have you ever spilt boiling water on yourself?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Have you ever drowned?
Almost. Once at Boomers.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Yeah, I think drowning
neither is pleasant.
Bad.
Neither is pleasant. Just whack them on the head with something. That's what I say.
Oh, well, that won't hurt either, will it?
It's quick and merciful.
I can't believe this, Rhea. So we drown a lobster.
Yep.
Wait, when you say
it's extraordinary.
In fresh water, is that because that they need the salt?
I suppose.
Or seasoning.
It's true.
Wow.
I can't believe this.
a lobster
drowns.
Yeah.
He's the dud of the family. He's got drowned.
Jeez. The Dipmer lobster.
You might remember last week, Roo, we talked all about the Burnside Council situation knocking back a skating park.
Which for the second time.
Will affect your kids because they're right into their skateboard.
They're not happy at all.
Hey, on the line now, joining us from the Burnside Council Committee for shutting things down, basically, we've got Sandra Worthington-Smythe-Jones. Good morning, Sandra.
Good morning, Christopher and Mark Ricciuto. Now, let me just correct you there. It's actually Sondra.
Sorry, Sondra. Sondra, sorry.
And you pronounced my name right, the proper Italian way, Sondra.
Oh, Ricciuto, yes. Well, you know, I actually did spend 3 years in Milan, so, you'd love it. Fashion Week is to die for. Mm.
Hey, now, you're here to explain why the proposed skate park in Burnside was actually shut down last week. What's the story?
Quite frankly, I don't want that roof rat around our leafy green streets. Mm. It's very simple. We'll, be pulling in drug addicts, delinquents, gangs of public school children. You know, they're drawn to skate parks like flies to a turd. just wouldn't be safe in my Rolex, and my Jeep would probably get scratched, It's just very simple.
Hey, my family are keen on the skate park, and, they're not roof rat.
Well, I beg to differ, Mr. Ricciuto. I've seen your scalag children terrorising the streets of Burnside on their little scooters and skateboards. Perhaps your family would be more comfortable somewhere else, like, I don't know, Port Augusta.
Oh,
easy, Sandra.
Now, look, it's disappointing the skate park's getting shut down. What other things are there for kids to do in Burnside?
Well, there's so many fun little things. You know, we have a hedge fund investment course for kids coming up.
Yes.
Or if the little kiddies want something more exciting, if you can believe it, it's Jane Austen Week next week at the library.
Oh, who's Jane Austen?
Yeah, exactly. That's exciting.
I'm sure the kids will love that. What sort of projects do the Burnside Council approve then?
Well, currently in the works, we have the equestrian jumping park, the helipad, the polo field, the wine bar, the yacht club. Oh, hang on. My nanny Svetlana's calling. I needed to pick up Bentley.
You're driving a Bentley, are you?
No. Bentley's the name of our Pomeranian.
Oh, right, sorry.
Picking him up from the doggy therapist.
The dog therapist.
Well,
oh, you're joking.
Yeah, I've been terribly anxious since my husband Nathaniel has been back at work.
You took your dog to the therapist?
Yes. Well, he's on more Xanax than me, the cheeky little mutt. Would you believe? Now, where were we? What were we talking about?
Well, we're talking about shutting down the skate park, you and Burnside council mates.
Right, yes. So I was at the beach house on the weekend.
Oh, let me guess. Robe?
No, we're changing the seasonal furniture and robe.
Oh, right. So not robe. Where are we talking? Port Elliot? Maybe
Noosa?
Maybe Noosa, yeah.
No, you're right. No, we have to extend the wine cellar in Noosa. So it was just one of our three-story little shacks at Port Elliot. Anyway.
Oh, it was Port Elliot. Right, eh? Okay.
We stopped for a bite to eat at the Port Elliot Bakery. Went past the skate park. Mm. Oh, my God. God, the ripped jeans, disheveled hair. You know, as far as the eye could see, not a boat shoe, not a popped collar, not a blazer inside. So I tell you now, there's just no way any teenagers will be popping any backslide heel flips or nose blunt sliders or 50-50 grind.
Yeah, all right, we get it.
A little bit about skateboarding. Thanks, Sandra. We get it. No chance of a skate park in Burnside. Okay.
No, there's more chance of the Crows getting their headquarters in North Adelaide. name, you know.
Yeah, all right.
The skate park proposal is dead, just like that tree in Burnside Village. Arrivederci, Mr. Ricciuto.
Yes, good morning, Sandra. No. Thanks for joining us from the Burnside Council
What's
Committee.
What's her surname?
Weldingdon Smythe.
Smythe.
Really Mova.
Triple M Breakfast with Blue Dits and Lies.
What a goal!
Overnight Sports.
The Crows have three picks in tomorrow's national draft. Recruiting manager Hamish Ogilvy says they're really keen on Murray Bushranger star Josh Rochelle if it lands their way.
Josh liked those other players up the top of the draft, Wanganeen and Horn Francis and Callaghan. They're very talented. He's clearly got some speed and power like some of the other boys. But again, mate, I can't get too locked into one player just in case it doesn't happen.
Do you know much about him, Roo?
I do know a little bit about him, yeah. He's a small forward that can play in the midfield from Victorian country. Grew up on a fruit property.
Right.
Italian background.
You love him.
He sounds about right. Yeah. Likened to Robbie Gray.
Oh, really?
Very sort of moves really? Like a Robbie Gray.
Righto.
Without all the accolades. Yeah.
All right. Now, it's understood Jordan De Goey could be back in Australia before the month is over. The Collingwood star has pleaded not guilty to an alleged assault in the US. His court date is December the 8th.
And how come we haven't got his ports picking up here?
Well, I didn't write
did
this.
You over,
no,
didn't, no?
I haven't written
Who
this.
Who are sport. They going to go for, Yuri? What type of player do you want to pick up?
Look, that's
you got picked 12. And they moved. Remember they moved up from 16 to 12 with the Peter Adams thing to try and get up a little bit higher? To the...
Do you know what, Roo? You could go for anything. You could go for a backup ruckman. You could go for a Charlie Dixon type to replace him because, you know, how many years has he got to go?
What
you
about
could go
a
for a big defender.
Smooth-moving wingman like Wanganeen Miller. You got enough of them?
I reckon we have.
Yeah, you got enough of them, yeah. He's so probably the best local
anything.
Around that.
So
pick.
You could actually go for any of those categories,
That narrows
Roo.
It down. Yep.
Couldn't yep. you? No, but you could.
Yep.
All right. And I think when you talk midfielders, there are 800 of those running around. But there aren't. If a real good key position type comes up, you've got to go for it, don't you?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Who won the grand final?
Why, what's your point?
I'm just asking. Yeah. What players won the grand final, you reckon?
Yeah, the good midfielders. Yeah.
No, I'm just saying, you said there's 800 of them.
Well, right. I got to say the tension in here. I don't know what's going on.
No, there are.
No, and the ruckman was very good as well, though, wasn't he, Jackson?
Oh, was he?
So you can get both.
Okay.
Well, the ruck's very important because that's where it all starts. It's like centre in netball.
That's right.
Mm. Did Fritsch play a part in their finals win?
Fritsch licked the ice cream very nicely.
Licked the ice cream, did he?
Oh, what is going on?
Were there two All-Australian defenders? Were they any good?
Not bad.
Not bad. Oh,
not
okay.
Bad.
Not bad. Loz will just...
Right.
I need to
Let's go.
No, I defer to the expert in Mark Rishi. I do. I'm only being stupid. Let's talk cricket now. Tim Payne returned to the field yesterday. He played... What a fall from grace. He played in Tassie's second 11 against
second
South Australia.
Second 11.
Yeah. So there you go.
You think you'd just take a bit of time away and
yeah.
hang out with the family now, and straight into
so
it.
Can he play second 11 and then come into the test side? Seriously?
Oh, he's obviously played to have a run. I don't think it means he's been dropped. You know.
Yeah, but what? Okay, there's no first, obviously,
yeah.
playing.
So he's just having a game. I think that's what you read into that.
Mm.
Hey, here's a win for women's cricket. How's this? The Redback Shield game against Queensland has been shifted to Karen Rolton Oval because the women's Big Bash finals are on the Adelaide Oval. So there you go. Well done to the girls.
Nice. Yeah, awesome.
Yeah. New Look Memorial Drive will play host to back-to-back international tennis events in January, which will be exciting. And just finally, this story has really shocked me. Dennis Lilly overnight, along with Ian Thorpe, has been elevated to legend status in Sport Australia's Hall of Fame. I would have thought surely he's already a legend. Has
when
to be.
A bloke walks into any bar in Australia and everyone just rises
Chants
and starts chanting, he's been in there forever.
I would have thought so.
Bowling, what a great delivery there from Dennis Lilly. Bivrick was late with the shot. The ball moved away a little bit and it's taken the off stump. And the winner on that encounter is Dennis Lilly.
And look at the crowd's gone mad. And the crowd, they've gone wild.
When was that 1836,
was it?
That was caught on a potato.
That was in the 70s.
Sound like that on Triple M this summer.
No, very good point. But anyway, Dennis Lilly, now a legend.
So I'm one of those people that overthinks everything and I get a bit... it's easy for me to make myself feel awkward in situations.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
So a big one for me is greeting people. I never know whether to shake their hand or give them a hug or mm-hmm.
I think everyone's in that category, aren't they?
Do you feel that?
Definitely. Yeah, I don't like kissing people I don't know. But then if you shake hands sometimes they make you feel like you're...
Mm.
don't stand want to kiss them.
Yeah, I know. It's really, but I have compiled a list of things in life that are deeply awkward, but they just shouldn't be. It's just normal things that you do, but for some reason, whenever they're happening, I don't know about you, but I feel embarrassed. So a pretty modern one is when everyone's finishing up a Zoom call and you've all said goodbye and you're all trying to leave the meeting.
Oh, no, yes.
And all of your faces are just, all right, see it, no worries. And then you just clicking and everyone's faces
are just...
going
too early or doing it too late.
And then someone starts saying something, but then you've cancelled out, so you don't know what it was. Do I need to call them back?
This is your first girlfriend in year eight. You hang up first.
Yes.
No, you hang up first.
I think you just get out
of
it.
But you hang up first.
Another one that is one of the more embarrassing moments in life and shouldn't be is when people are singing happy birthday to you and you just have to sit there.
And
you just sit there and it, happy birthday. Ooh, let it end.
My eight-year-old had his birthday yesterday. He looked down the whole time the song was on. He wouldn't look at anyone in the eyes.
It's weird, isn't it? I get it, Rocco.
A bit shy?
Yeah, a bit shy. You get all shy. Stepping into an elevator when somebody else is already in it. That's awkward.
Especially when you forget your mask.
Oh, God.
Sorry, mate. Yeah, no, I don't think I got COVID.
Someone from level 10 on our building told me off the other day, which rightly so, but it was very awkward
for
after
that. For not having a mask?
Yeah, because we don't wear them in our office, but we're meant to wear them in the elevator.
Yeah.
So it's easy to forget because you're just used to not wearing them. I got in. No mask. Well, you should have one.
Oh.
Mm.
It's not very considerate.
Okay.
And I felt like I was in primary school again and I'd got a red card. This one's a good one. When you're at the doctor and the doctor calls your name and you get up and walk into the office and the whole waiting room is just
watching. Yeah, it's a packed waiting
room. Yeah.
Actually, I don't like that one.
That's, yeah, old school, that.
Mm. And this one's my most...
How do they get around that? Maybe, do you need a ticket?
No, because it doesn't matter because you're always going to...
Ticket 73.
Then you're going to get up and everyone
now,
sees
I've
you.
I've just thought of something.
But are you worried about your name or what are you worried about when they yell it out?
Just watching you.
Everyone
just
watches
you. Walk.
Everyone
the
watches
way you.
You
walk.
What are you worried about people watching you
Look at your bum.
For?
What's look at your hair. Yeah. That's God, weird.
I was in the chemist the other day. You've just made me think of something, right?
Yeah.
I reckon this is what... And to the chemists out there, please, I understand. But, you know, you walk in and you'll say, oh, have you got, I don't know, cream for hemorrhoids? And... Next, at the I'll just get the chemist for you. And the chemist comes out and goes, "Yes, sir, rub these on your hemorrhoids."
Yeah.
And there's about five other people waiting for their prescriptions, and it's just not private at all.
Yeah.
Whereas if I was in a doctor's room, at least I can say, "Yeah, mate, I've got hemorrhoids." And but or it's bad acne, whatever it is, you know. But I was listening
what
to this conversation.
Have you got from the chemist the other
No,
day?
I was standing waiting for a prescription, but this poor bloke and this chemist out of loud is saying, "So with the acne, really, you know, rub it in around your neck, and then if it doesn't get clear," and I'm thinking, "You poor bastard, you're having this whole conversation."
You
in
go
front
and
of
whisper it, and you go, "Oh, fungal rash," and then they go, "Noreen, what would you use for a fungal rash?"
This fella over here with the beard, he's got fungal rash.
Yeah,
there's just no privacy at all.
Yeah,
this one's my number one, and I don't know if you guys will agree with this, but when you're at the traffic lights and you accidentally have eye contact with the car next to you,
that happens every day.
Hate it. You'll just be looking around and then you lock each other's eyes and then you quickly look away like, oh no, they saw me look at them. We looked into each other's souls.
Finding this segment awkward.
Bloody oath.
Please welcome to Triple M's Ruined Dits for Breakfast, the Premier, Stephen.
They call it D-Day. As of midnight last night, our borders are open to all comers.
Are you nervous, Premier Steve Marshall?
Look, it is a fantastic day for South Australia. So many people have been dislocated from friends and family and business opportunities and customers coming into South Australia. So we've listened to the expert advice. We've worked with the people of South Australia. And today's a great day for our state. And I just want to say thank you very much to every South Australian who's gone out and got themselves vaccinated today. We're cautiously opening those borders for those people that are fully vaccinated, and I think it's going to be a fantastic day down at the airport.
We are only 77.4%, aren't we? Or are those numbers wrong? I thought we were going to open up when we hit 80.
Yeah, there's a bit of a lag in those statistics. I think we got to 78% on Sunday night. So I think we're probably about 79% as of today. We'll get to 80% by the end of this week. It's a fantastic achievement.
Awesome.
And of course, I think we're at 87 or 88% who've had the single shot already. So that means that we're definitely going to get to that 90%, I reckon, by by Christmas or certainly by the end of this year, which is another great compliment to the people of our state.
Premier, can you explain to dummies like me why Melbourne have got no restrictions, everything open, 1,000 cases a day, and here we're still on, you know, reasonable restrictions and we've got no cases and we're about to let Victorians in?
Yeah, no, look, they've certainly got restrictions still in place in Victoria and they've had them for most of the last 2 years. I mean, very heavy restrictions. We're at 75% density in South Australia. We've got some other, if you like, restrictions that we're going to keep in place until we get to that 90%. We've got to be doing this cautiously, only letting those people that are fully vaccinated in. But it is time to open those borders. Honestly, it is time. The experts tell us that we can do this safely. We've put all the requisite health resources in place, and it's time to gently open those borders in a considered way, but let's get on with life.
Premier, I'm hearing what you're saying, and I am full of praise of the job you've done and Professor Spurrier and Grant Stevens quite seriously. And I think, you know, we have led just about the world here. So I mean that from the heart. But there are some confusing rules still. Test cricket, we can have 35,000 at the Adelaide Oval. What's the difference whether it's 35,000 or 52,000? We're opening our borders, so we're letting people in, but we still are restricted in pubs. We can't dance and we can't do certain things. I do find that rules are a little bit inconsistent. Can you understand why I would say that?
Look, I can understand that, but let me tell you, there's a lot of science behind this. We want to slow down the progress of this disease, and so we look at some of those high-risk activities where we know that there's a huge transmission potential from studying what's happened interstate. And in the first days of opening the border, of course, we're keeping those restrictions in place because while we're at 80%, we're not as protected as we are at 90% and 95% like they are in other parts of the country. So I'm quite sure South Australians will get there. In fact, I think they'll get there very quickly. I'm hopeful that they do it before the end of the year.
Now, are we opening up because we are vaccinated and therefore we're protected against people that may bring this disease in? And the reason I ask this question, if that's what it's all about, I'm led to believe from inside SA Health, they are, well, I won't use the word panicking, but they are battening down the hatches because they think they're about to get absolutely bombarded and inundated with cases. That's the word we're getting out of SA Health.
Yeah, well, if you look at the cases interstate, there are still some reasonably high numbers, but those that are translating through to hospital, very low now. I think I had a look late last week or early this week, and I looked at Victoria, which is the worst case scenario. They're at about 300 people in hospital. We're about one-fifth their size here in our state. So look, we've put far more resources in than we potentially will need here in South Australia. We've taken all the precautions.
Would we be financially better off to let the borders open like you're doing, or just have our state as it's been locked down, but at 100%, operating at 100%?
Yeah, well, it's a good question. Certainly in Western Australia, they had 100% and they're locked off, but our economic growth is much stronger than Western Australia because we have had some of our borders open. I just think being dislocated from Sydney, Melbourne, Canberra makes no sense as a country whatsoever. And as Professor Spurrier always says, look, you can't keep it out anyway. There could be a single case that comes in and you lock down your entire state. Nobody wants lockdowns anymore. And so we've got to learn to live with this. But we're doing it in a very careful and considered way. And the only reason we can do this is because South Australians, you know, have responded magnificently to the call to get vaccinated. So we'll be at 80% this week. And, of course, we'll be at 90% by the end of the year. One of the best responses anywhere in the world.
Good on you, Premier. Thanks so much for your time again.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Good on you.
Thanks, Premier
of South Australia, Stephen Marshall.
Triple M. Get out your Zimmer frames, chuck on a cardi, comb your hair over and crank up the tranny.
The grumpy guy story's starting to come into focus a little bit here.
On Ruined Dits, it's time for grumpy old men.
Who have you got there on the blower, Roo?
Johnny Reid, former footy operations manager from the Crows. Might ask him how he would have handled the Tim Payne situation back in the day.
Good question.
Friends who owns pubs all around Adelaide, I'd love to know who he's had a beer with over in the past.
Yep.
And Pratty. Well, we really don't want anything out of Pratty, but we've just got him on because we needed a third wheel. Good morning, boys.
Morning.
Friends, have you had a beer with any famous people?
Yeah, we took calls on this yesterday. We had some great ones. Who have you had a beer with?
Well, I would think probably the most famous I've had was Shane Warne.
Oh,
Warney.
He was in the pub and, geez, he brought 16 to a new level when I sat there with him. Because, mate, I tell you, he didn't muck around.
Yeah.
Right.
And, He was probably the most famous I've had a beer with over the time. Nice bloke.
How did you get your driver's license, you blokes? We're just talking about the young people these days aren't getting their license. We shared some stories about how tough it was, or how tough it is now. But how did you get it back in your day, Reedy?
Oh, no, we had to go to the police station, and the cop would get in the car with him. And the day I went for it, my dad's car, which I'd learned had broken down, so I had to borrow a mate's car, and it was a big bugger, and I could hardly see over the steering wheel.
So you didn't have a cushion, did you?
I failed that one, and I came back.
Oh, you failed your drive.
I failed.
Oh, that would have been embarrassing.
Oh, it was embarrassing, so I had to go back the second time, but I took a cushion and got over.
Alrighty. Pratty, how did you get your driver's license?
Mine's 50 years. I learnt farm utes and trucks. We had a theory in the Blythe police station and then a practical, so of course I'm in a manual ute, and we're talking feet and yards, not metres. Mm. So manual ute, then I went on for the farm truck and got a heavy rigid licence, which is now called a Tim Payne.
Oh, wow.
A what?
You want me to say it again?
Yes. Loz is a bit slow, mate. That's all right. All right. Another question, though, for Reedy. We've seen what's happened with Tim Payne, and he got cleared by the ACB several years ago when it happened, back in 2017. Do you think he should have got cleared, given that it was consensual, or should he have been sort of blown wide open and story told and sacked at the spot?
Oh, look, it's hard to make comment, Roo, when you haven't got all the facts. I mean, I read the article today where the previous chairman is giving the current chairman, you reckon he's giving him a burst?
Yes.
Today, and I reckon rightly so. I mean, whatever, they may not have had all the information then, and I reckon they probably handled it pretty right. I just wonder whether this bird's, she's obviously sold his story for money, I don't know, which I reckon's a pretty poor form. It's a hard one to yep. just says, mate. I reckon I wouldn't have sacked him. Might have taken the captaincy away. You wouldn't have sacked him totally. I mean, geez, I've had some blokes do some ordinary things along the way, and you've got around it. But I think it's pretty harsh. 4 years down the track, and now that all this is out, I reckon it's pretty ordinary.
What's irking you boys at the moment, Franz?
Mate, I just want to open, close. I just want a decision made by someone led by probably ScoMo and just bite the bullet, decide whether Australia's reopening. If people don't get vaccinated, then so be it. And we just move ahead as a country and as a state.
As a nation, not as several states.
Well, all together, just open up and just bite the bullet and what will be, will be. That's what I think has got to happen.
Yeah. All right. What about you, Reedy?
Mate, I'm a little bit dirty. I really want to watch this Beatles bloody documentary, and it's on bloody Disney Channel.
Oh.
And I haven't got bloody Disney Channel.
Reedy, I'll give you my login.
It'll cost you about $15, Reedy.
That's a free trial. Well, you can get a 7-day free trial.
Well, I did wonder that. I might try that today. I'm a bit dirty on it.
I'll sort you out after bloody this. That's all right. You got a thought for the day, Pratty?
Well, I have. It's a bit in towards Loz's age group, which is, you know, the U12s are finishing and school is weak. A mate of mine said to his teenage son, "You're tired of being harassed by your stupid parents. Act now, move out, get a job, pay your own bills, buy your own car. Do it now while you still know everything."
Yep. Yep.
Good on you, Freddie. Good on you, boys. Have a great week.
Cheers,
the grumpy
boys.
Old man.
See you, boys.
Our producer has just walked in, Jared, who's now self-nicknamed himself the Jazz Factor.
Mm-hmm. Pardon?
He's added a new dimension to the show, he reckons. Jazz.
What does Jazz
morning,
Factor
team.
Mean?
The Jazz Factor.
The Factor. It just brings the jazz to the team and livens it up.
Righto.
Is that like the lightning rod?
That's it.
Yeah. Well, Tom out there, the Basso Effect named himself, so I just want to get in on the action.
We asked you, you know, how did you get in this job? And you said, people were coming at me from every station. You know, they all wanted a slice of the Jazz Factor.
That's right.
It was a bidding war.
So we were the fortunate ones.
Yeah, fortunate, not so fortunate.
You
won't think you're fortunate after this because... Basically, you guys did a story yesterday, Matt Doran. I think a lot of our listeners might have heard about it. The bloke who didn't do his research about Adele. Well,
flew all the way. Hang on, he flew all the way to London. $1 million interview.
You know, and you got to be researched. When we work in media, we need to be on top of every single story we do.
Mm-hmm. He got there and he said to Adele, "I haven't even listened to your album."
And she vetoed the interview and said, "Get stuff."
$1 million down the drain. Well, we just found it funny because you went pretty harsh on him. And the irony behind the scenes, Hato, just play this for me, please.
What about Mark Doran, though? He doesn't like Adele as much as I do.
First things first, his name is Matt Doran.
No.
He flew all the way to London to interview her. This is Channel 7's Mark Doran.
Again, it's Matt. Glad to see you've done your research about a guy who hasn't done his research.
$1 million Channel 7 paid for it. She says, "Have you heard my album?" He goes, "No." Like, lie, you idiot. Oh. Just say, "Yes, of course I have. It was great. I loved it."
$1 million interview.
Didn't bother to do his research and actually listen to the album. He's just been flown to London to interview her about it, and he hasn't listened to one word of the album.
If you're listening, Mark, here's how the professionals do it. Hugh Ruin Ditz talking to Ian Moss from Chisel about their album coming up.
Mossy, are we right in saying there might be a couple of live songs on this one as well?
Oh, geez.
I think Shipping Still might be live, mate.
Shipping Still, okay.
Is it?
I think so.
Yeah, okay. What's that about? That's not about Wyler, is it, or not? No.
Wailing.
Wyler. Where's Wyler, the Shipping Still? What is that about? Is that a...
It was actually down on the Illawarra.
Oh, okay.
Let's check back in with the guys sinking the boots into Mark.
She then vetoed the interview and said you can't use the footage.
Yeah.
So she's actually put the kibosh on it and said, "Bugger you."
What's if you can't bother. Isn't it?
It was disrespectful. Not dissimilar to the time we interviewed Sophie Monk, and she had asked us not to mention her ex-boyfriends. Take it away, research prosciutto.
Righto, I did a bit of research on you last night too, Sophie. And
is the first time
went
ever.
Went through a couple of your ex-boyfriends online and found Jason Statham. Now, he's one of my favourite actors. Is he as good a boyfriend as he is an actor?
Is that a nice person? Yeah.
We're not trying to get a headline here at all, are we?
Anyway, back to the public shaming of Mark Doran.
How long did the album come out before the interview?
A couple of weeks. Yeah, it's only been out a week or two.
Plenty of time, though.
Yeah.
Wrong. It was released on November 19th.
It's just incredible. And he's now making excuses. He's saying, they emailed the album to me, but I didn't see the email.
That's bull twang.
Come on, mate. I'm amazed he's kept his job, actually. Like, they've flown him all the way there, paid $1 million for the interview, and he stuffed it up. Unbelievable.
They should have sent you, Ditz.
Ditz is fastidious with his research, whether you're a megastar or just a local band playing at the Crown and Anchor pub on the weekend.
A mate of mine, I worked with him for years at Channel 7, is doing a special night this Saturday night. Jake Fleming, his band is Audio Rain. He joined us. Good morning, Jake.
Good morning, lads. How are you?
Yeah, very good. What's happening Saturday night, Jake?
It's actually Sunday afternoon. Oh.
So all I can say is do your research.
Hang on. But we weren't paid $1 million.
Yeah. Aren't you? Far from it.
Oh, God. I need to renegotiate my contract. Yeah.
Jeez, not like Mark Doreeny.
Oh, God. You are setting yourself up.
That was all Sammy. He sent me in.
That's a blast. Nah. Oh, look, the producer's...
Now that Jazz Mack is handballing.
We've spoken to the Premier this morning. We've got his thoughts on it. At midnight last night, the state borders opened up. What does it mean to you? What's your reaction to it?
I don't know. I haven't actually thought about it heaps leading into it, which sounds ridiculous. Over the last week ago, I wasn't even thinking about it a lot. I knew the day was coming, but other than, I think about it from a business point of view, certainly I know people in pubs are really concerned about what's going to happen over the next month or so. They're worried about whether people will come out. They're worried about what will happen, say, if your head chef or one of your chefs or one of your main staff get COVID and then have to be away for a week. We're worried about whether your business will get shut down. So certainly I'm worried about that. I'm concerned for the elderly. I think they'll stay home. I don't think they're going to take the risk. I think yesterday it seemed like the shops were really busy. I know my wife said that down at the Foodland, they said they'll run off their feet down there. People were stocking up as if they were going to sort of try and shop less or go out less, a little bit like breakout was, or, you know, it was already going to happen. So I just think there's uncertainty. I wouldn't say I'm nervous. But
should the borders have opened?
Oh, I'm not really qualified to say. I just don't understand why we're opening them when we've got the restrictions still in place that we have, compared to the other states where they're doing everything else and not opening, or they are opening. We're just somewhere in the middle. So to say that I'm a little bit nervous, I think would be accurate.
All right, Loz, what do you think?
Anxious, just because it's an unknown reality that we're moving into. I have faith in our in the science. I'm praying that, you know, we're being told everything, and this is really is the right way to move forward. I've got some people that I know who can't get vaccinated, who I'm a bit worried about.
Why can't they get vaccinated?
Oh, just health reasons.
Yep.
And then I've got people who I know who are refusing to get vaccinated and who I'm also worried about. And I think those are the people who will be vulnerable. I'm also nervous about, you know, what if my housemate gets it? What if someone I know gets it? And then we're all in close contact. You know, it's like, what's going to happen to businesses? And yeah, there's just a lot of questions that can't be answered until we live through it.
You've got family coming home now?
I do. I have a cousin coming home. I have a neighbour coming home who are double vaxxed, and I'm not worried about those people at all. Yeah. I mean, it'll be great to see them, but on a personal level, very excited to see those people. Also on a personal level, worried as well. So it's...
What about yourself, Diz?
I just think it's inconsistent, and I mentioned this to the Premier before. I still ask about things like, you're going to have 35,000 people at a test match coming up at the Adelaide Oval. If it's 35,000, why not 52,000? There are things like that that I still scratch my head at.
100,000 in Melbourne.
Why not? Yeah, why not? So
every other stadium in Australia, I think, is 100%.
Yeah. So whether you have 32 or 52, or it's not going to make much difference, I don't think. So I just wonder about how they've made these decisions. But I still think they've done a good job. And the other thing, I do know for a fact that inside SA Health, they are, I won't use the word, they're not panicking, sorry, but they are
preparing to get busy.
They are preparing in a big, big way. Yep. They think they are about to get bombarded. So
I think they are, though.
Yeah.
Even if those
people... So that's a worry.
Yeah.
So New South Wales is between 150 and 200 cases a day. Melbourne, 1,000 to 1,200 cases a day. So
do you take the attitude that one of the things we were told, get vaxxed, and then we're protected against those that aren't vaxxed anyway? Do we just go forward with that attitude?
Well,
so we've got 78% vaxxed at the moment. Do you just say, oh, well, we're safe and open up the borders?
No, I still, even if those people are choosing not to get vaccinated, I am still concerned about those people. I don't think they really understand the dangers of COVID and what it can do to you.
All right, give us a ring, 133353. What does opening the borders mean to you? And maybe you've got a beautiful story about someone you haven't seen for a year or two. I'd love to hear that story as well. Today, the 23rd of November, we were told a while ago this is the day they would open the borders.
And that's what they're doing. How do you feel about it? Are you excited? Are you nervous? Are you happy? What is it? Let's go to Semaphore. Helen, how are you feeling?
Hi, everyone. Look, I think it's a positive move forward. It's going to have to happen eventually. It's happened overseas, and we've seen, for example, in England, stadiums getting filled up, lives moving forward. On a personal note, my parents are in Melbourne and in a nursing home, 83 and 78, both got vaccinated in March. And my mum in particular is extremely vulnerable. And anyway, when the lockdown reopened in Victoria, unfortunately, COVID entered the nursing home that they were in and everyone in their ward contracted it.
Mm.
The good news story is, though, that they were all vaccinated. And they all pulled through with minimum symptoms.
Really?
Now, that to me, that was a testament to me about, and that's only my story and their story, but an 83-year-old who is so vulnerable.
Wow.
I mean, we were extremely worried.
Yeah.
And the fact that they've pulled through and now I'll have an opportunity to get over there at some stage. I'm not rushing over either. There's a lot of unknowns, as Loz said before, but, you know, we're making informed decisions and we just have to ride the wave. I think it's going to be good for business. It's going to be good for the lifestyle. And let's just start living again.
Amazing. Good on you, Helen. Well done. And great news about your parents
that's
as well.
Amazing.
Yeah,
fantastic.
Good story. Let's go to my Ponga. G'day, Andrew. How are you feeling about the opening?
Yes, g'day, mate. How are you going?
Good, thanks.
G'day, guys.
G'day.
Look, I think it's great that they're opening borders and we're moving on, but I'm just concerned my 10-year-old daughter can't have a vaccination.
Mm-hmm.
We want to get her vaccinated,
And look, if people don't want to get vaccinated, they can shot to COVID-19. That's their choice. But it's, you know, I'm just all about kids under 12.
Okay, so it's under 12 at the moment, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right.
No, no jabs for kids under 12.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Okay. Well, Andrew, let's hope that changes soon for you.
I think that'll be changing in January.
You can hear in his voice that he would like to get his daughter vaccinated. Exactly. Yeah, all right.
Let's go to Seaford Rise. Travis, how are you feeling about it?
Yeah, good, thanks, boys. And Loz,
yeah,
you there?
Yeah. You go for it.
Sorry, just break it up. Yeah, I'm like a cat in a hot tin roof, mate. We've been waiting to get back there for a little while, so... Yeah, when I realised it was going to be open on the 23rd, I booked the first plane flight out of here. So,
where are you heading to?
Family, my grandson, and my children. So, yeah, just can't wait to get back and, yeah, it'd be great.
Where are you heading to?
I'm heading to regional Victoria, a place called Traralgon. So, that's my hometown. So.
Yeah, Traralgon. Beautiful.
Over the moon, I'm. Yeah, so excited to get back there.
Family, good on you, Trav. Hope it all goes well for you. You can catch up with your family. Let's head down to Aldinga. Gemma, how are you feeling about today?
Yeah, I'm not loving it, to be honest. I think that it's too early.
Yep.
I mean, if they wanted to do it before Christmas, that's fine. Maybe like in a month's time or mid-December. Even the end of school term would have been better than right now. I think the reasons that they said they were going to open because we'll be 80% vaccinated, you know, we're not there yet. So if it was for the right reasons, they should have waited. I also think that it's a political move that I don't think that SA Health or the police commissioner really support the decision to open up at this time, but they've just gone ahead with it anyway.
Okay.
I don't think it supports SA people.
Okay.
I reckon she might be a bit right there.
All right. Good point of view, Gemma.
I share a lot of those.
Leaning on Premier Marshall's shoulders.
Thanks for calling in, Gemma. Good on you. We've got an anonymous caller on the line. Good morning.
Good morning. I have no problems with them opening up. I mean, you can't shut down forever, but I'll throw my scenario at you, which is a very interesting one. I've got a wife who's a vehement anti-vaxxer.
Right. Is that in all vaccines or just this one?
Mainly this one, although she's not happy when it, she's, put it this way, she's very holistic. She's anti all traditional medicine. And our 45-year marriage is teetering. I haven't been vaxxed. I'm thinking about even just doing it on the slide, but how do you hide that from somebody?
Right.
There's a lot of people like this, Anonymous.
When you come home with a sore arm and...
Well, what happens if I get a... I don't reckon I've had a flu or a cold the last 20 years. I never get sick.
Yeah.
So what happens if I get a mild reaction?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes, you can see I'm between a rock and a hard place. I'm a realistic person. Luckily, I'm a person that almost got a phobia with even family gatherings. I won't go anywhere. I managed to hide from society, and I used to go to town a lot. I rarely go to town.
Are you
retired?
I won't
go to big shopping centres. Yes.
Are you a bit agoraphobic, Anonymous?
Not so much agoraphobic. I think I'm become a very anti-social person.
Right.
I just don't enjoy it.
Well, that's you need to have a big discussion with your wife. And you know what? I would have sent you to the Killers, but you don't like crowds.
I don't want more people to be like that, though. That's what worries me. I like mixing with people. I don't worry people are going to stay home and just hide.
I think that people with agoraphobia or people who are afraid... wanting to stay home, afraid of crowds, afraid of public spaces. People who have mild cases of that, they've become very flared up over the last 2 years because there's more reasons to stay home, more reasons to be scared. So those people need extra support.
I'm learning so many new words with Loz here. This is brilliant.
Agoraphobic.
Can we send Helen from Semaphore to see the Killers?
Yeah,
certainly can. Helen, who's got her elderly parents over there in Victoria, she sounded excited. She sounded happy. Helen, you're off to see the Killers.
Congrats, Helen.
104.7 Triple M's $10,000 vault.
Oh, yeah, yay. $10,000.
Let's head to McGill. G'day, Sandy.
Hello, Roo.
One in 22, Sandy.
Oh, you are nervous.
One in 22.
I'm nervous, but I would have been more nervous if I got it last week.
Oh,
did you have a crack last week?
No, I didn't, but I was trying to get through. We've been trying to get through and trying to get through. I got my husband on his phone, me on mine.
Oh, no.
You're desperate for $10,000.
Good teamwork.
So anyway, I hope I've got something.
Okay. Well, let's have a crack at it. What's your combination?
7, 6, 3, 2.
Ooh, highest to lowest.
Righto.
7, 6, 3, 2.
Mm. It's a new guess. We know that.
Pin. Incorrect.
Sorry, Sandy.
Bad luck,
sorry,
Sandy.
But keep trying.
I'll keep trying.
Keep the hubby on the phone as well. Keep going.
Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. I said a moment ago, sad thing happening here in Adelaide. Our last drive-in is closing down. Jeb's Cross.
Yeah.
It's very sad.
Still one open. Yeah. Who's been to the drive-in in the last 20 years?
I haven't been for a long time.
What?
Have you?
Yeah, the last movie I saw there was a Jason Statham one. What's the one where he's...
nothing wrong with Jason Statham.
No,
nothing
wrong
with Sophie Monk. Just ask Roo.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
And that was unfair, me getting... I didn't even know we had a big... bold letters saying, do not ask her about
it. It was
Jason
written
Statham.
Right there on the screen.
On the screen
do
in
not
front
ask
of
about
if
Jason
you missed
Statham.
It, we interviewed Sophie Monk a month or two back, and yeah, the big thing was, don't ask her about Jason Statham, former relationship. Bruce, first question. Hey, what was it like going out with Jason Statham?
You know what I mean?
I thought I'd actually done some research. I just hadn't done the research.
Anyway,
on the producer.
So drive-in has closed down, but all is not lost. There's still one in South Australia. If you want to go to the drive-in.
Really? There's still one left?
There is. It's in Cooper Pedy.
What is it, underground?
No, it's the only thing. You can't miss it. It's the only thing above ground.
Underground driving.
You see this big white thing out the middle of nowhere? You know you've come to Cooper Pedy.
Oh, they'll be shut down in about 20 years up there.
Just the things that used to go on. Honestly, some of the funny events when I think back to my... We've talked about this before, but how
were
many...
Were you in the adults... were you an adult when you were going still?
Yeah. First, we get your first car, get your license, take your girlfriend to the drive-in, and of course your girlfriend go... I don't want to see that movie. I go, I know we... I don't want to see it either. We're not going to see the movie. Don't worry about it.
What are you going to do?
Pash on.
Oh, yes.
Hey, and mum's old EH, so front bench seats. They had to sit right next to you. There was no in, but you know...
No handbrake.
Seats, no handbrake in the way.
You slid over there.
Slide on over, love. Come over here. Get your arm around your girlfriend.
You've been at home practicing on your oranges.
On the oranges, that's right.
The best part about that conversation is that you're in an EH.
Yeah.
I would have said the end of it, but yeah.
Car.
The red bench seats.
Yeah, there was a lot of
colour was it?
Grey with the white roof. And
nice.
red bench seats. Column shift. Yeah.
I think a lot of young people became men and women at driver's driving.
And you mentioned this in the break about losing your car. You go and buy a hot dog.
You go get
how
a hot
many
dog.
Times, and you come back in the dark. Yeah, where's my bloody car?
Get in the wrong car. That's all right, darling. So you can stay.
You've been as an adult or?
Yeah, I've been as an adult. I do remember going as a kid and mum and dad didn't check the rating and we went to see There's Something About Mary, which is like R-rated and like very crass.
Yeah.
And I just remember dad with his hand on the dial. So, because we were tuned into the station, and every time anything kind of like, ooh, a bit grown up happened, he would.
It was so like that any time, those bloody things on the side. They were never clear.
Remember
were they?
When we advanced, you had a speaker that you hooked onto your window.
That's all
your window
I ever
down.
Had.
Oh, no, then we went high tech. They got these things that you plugged onto your aerial.
Yeah.
Pinned,
really?
So you had your car radio. Mm. You listened through the car. It was very high tech.
Wake Crew didn't get that, the Wake Crew drive-in. No. All I know is of a kid, we just had heaps of kids in the car, quilts over the top of us. The bloke operating knew that there was 15 kids in the boot.
Yeah.
We'd pull up just outside, get in the boot, get underneath, put your feet on top. That's all I can remember. Yeah. I never got the old pashing session.
You didn't?
No, that was shut.
And I can remember real hot nights at the drive-in, you know, those still 35 degrees at night time, people actually sitting outside with their deck chairs.
Deck chairs.
Were great nights as well, and you had your esky. And
Wake Crew, they were all on the backs of utes.
Anyway, good memories, but, Jep's Cross, they're closing down. So if you want to go to the drive-in, we're off to Cooper Pedy.
Have a weekend in Cooper Pedy.
That's right.
Beautiful.
Good announcement we've read this morning. One of our favourite sons has come to town.
Barnsley is back and singing down at the Bay. He had a massive gig there, was it a year or two ago?
Glenelg Beach.
March 19. Mondo Rock, Vanessa Amorosi, John Stevens, Diesel.
Beautiful.
This is going to be 10,000 people approved to be at the event as well.
All right.
So that'll be big.
I don't know if I should say this, but my friend... went to that and she was sitting out in the ocean in a donut watching from outside.
Right.
And then she crawled up on the shore and dug underneath the gate.
Tunneled in.
What is she, a crab?
Yeah, like a
the
crab,
people
yeah.
people you hang around with.
I know. I know. She said it was a great gig.
Bloody, is this another Paracombe bloody neighbour?
I don't want to say.
Sounds like it. Tickets on sale November 27 at ticketmaster.com.au.
We need to build like a rabbit-proof fence between Paracone
absolutely.
And the rest of
Adelaide. They've tried.
Dennis Lilly only just made a legend now.
Ridiculous.
I find that hard to believe.
He's been a legend forever.
Oh, yeah. Amazing.
Yeah, some technicality there, I think.
Slipped through the crap, went through to the keeper.
Loz.
That's where you get up.
Your cricket skills are really coming along.
Yeah,
golf day today down at Grange.
Was Tim Payne the keeper?
No, he had a bulging disc.
Yes. Yeah, what's happening at Grange?
Well, you and Tex are taking on the rush hour boys today. Loz and I will just be giving support from our carts.
Hang on, a big day. As you speak, I can show you this. Look, Tex Walker has just messaged me. He's worried about the weather. Come on, Tex. Harden up, son.
Attack the pin.
If you are in my team today, mate, harden up.
He plays all right in the wet, the big Texan. Don't worry about that. Attack the pin, soggy greens. It'll slow it down. Easier to putt, dits, all these. That's right, isn't it?
Yeah.
You've been watching Happy Gilmore.
Going to get inside Bluey's head on the first tee. You've got to beat these rush hour boys.
All right, well, clean them up, dits, and do us proud, will you?
Easier to get in Bluey's head because he has a hose that goes into... doesn't matter.
We're back tomorrow, AFL draft tomorrow night for the footy fans. We'll give you a bit of an insight into maybe some of the top picks, who's Port going to get, maybe who the Crows are looking at, and find out what's happening there.
Do you think you'll get your man?
I leave it all up to the experts, Dits, because I don't know anything about
these
kids.
You are the godfather, come on.
No, yeah. I know nothing about the kids.
Nothing. He'll call me on the day of the draft.
I can tell you, Loz, if I don't get the right bloke, heads will roll.
No, I'm telling you. Well, everyone wants the right bloke, but...
there you go. Hey, tomorrow, Adam Rosenbach's Rosie from the front bar. Joe Ricciuto's jokes, which we love every week, and more tickets to go and see the Killers.
Have a great day, everyone.
Tickets to our Triple M beer launch happening down at Big Shed Brewing as well.